Havana, Cuba. It all began when Flo joined Ringling on December 8, 1949, as part of a new month-long holiday show in Cuba. Opening night was a huge hit, with one New York Times reviewer writing, "Havana went wild over the performances and gave Ringling's greatest show on earth the warmest reception it ever accorded a visiting amusement organization." Just as Havana embraced its first major circus, so too did the Ringling Troopers take to the gay Paris of the Caribbean. Touring lively Havana, they enjoyed the colorful city's freedoms and its exciting diversions for all types and tastes. On the morning of the opening show, Cubanos headed for work or play, dressed perhaps more gaily than usual. After all, the circus was in town. "Imagine," Flo murmured to Ernie as they prepared to leave their hotel to explore downtown Havana. "We're finally here, and we're together in this vibrant city. We're in a country only 90 miles from America, but a world away from anything or any place we've ever known. Well, certainly none I've ever known." Days before, Flo had confided to Ernie why her abusive father led her finally to run away from home. Ernie caught Flo's dark meaning and quickly turned the moment to light. Smiling that dazzling Ernie smile, the one that animated his face from ear to ear, he brought Flo close and whispered, "Flo, you are lovely. I can't wait to show you off." Handsome, olive-skinned Ernie could have been mistaken for a Cuban native, dapper in his crisp, white guayabera, perfectly pressed tan linen trousers, and sporting a Panama hat. In this magical place, and for the first time ever, Flo dared to appear in public as her true self. The plain brown man's trousers and button-down shirt she always wore off circus grounds as a protective shield remained neatly folded in tissue paper in her suitcase. On this day, she floated to Ernie's side in her gossamer, peacock-hued frock that matched a stunning pair of expensive slippers she'd indulged in at her favorite boutique, Long Tall Sally's in Chicago. Flo loved pretty footwear and wore it regularly inside her big clown shoes. A secret little amuse-bouche, only she knew, or so she thought. Today was different. On this morning, the new cerulean blue haute-soie slippers would be on full public display, sparkling with the tiny sapphire beads Flo had painstakingly applied. Moving through the streets to the rhythms of this sultry, frangipani-scented otherworld, Ernie and Flo promenaded arm in arm down the famous Paseo del Prado to the shimmering harbor, hopelessly intoxicated by this sun-drenched city and one another. Ernie and Flo were dazzled by the attention of the locals, despite the fact that neither understood a word of Spanish. "Ernie, we're not yet on stage, and look how these people are receiving us, these beautiful people. Even the young ones are pointing and laughing and clapping their hands as we walk by. They probably know we're part of the circus and are cheering us as performers and cheering us as Americans." "Just listen," Flo whispered. The couple returned huge smiles and enthusiastic waves as everyone they passed gleefully shouted, "Maricón! Maricón! Maricón!" Still floating on air and in dramatic fashion later that evening in the dressing room, Flo regaled her fellow clowns of their glorious reception. It was later that Ernie learned "maricón" did not translate to the word "American," but was instead the crude Spanish slang word that translated as "faggot." No one had the heart to tell Flo the truth that day or ever. For Flo, Havana's tropical fairy tale morning shared intimately with soulmate Ernie remained a treasured, long-held memory. Over the years, Flo would often gather new and old friends and share her Havana story again and again, as only she could, innocent of the slurs she mistook for admiring words.